Town West End Church. What's good? How are we doing? We're live. I like it. Well, my name's Chad Harold. I am our lead pastor at our Missouri City campus, and I'm pumped to be with you guys today. I want to say hi. We have people linking in, not only online, but from three other campuses here at River Point West End. First, we have our men at the Ramsey Unit. Guys, listen. They are averaging about 100 men gathering for church every week. And they just, even better, wait for this. They just had a baptism service the other day, and it was incredible. So, men, Ramsey Unit, we love you guys. Man, thank you for being here today. We also have our West End campus, and Abe and his team are doing an incredible job. They are running tons of services every week. They do Thursday night, Sunday morning, and they just started a Sunday night Spanish service. So they are rocking and rolling, doing a great job. And then, of course, we have Mo City, our Missouri City campus. And from what I hear, the people over there and the team are just the best in the business. I mean, that's what I hear. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased. But wherever you're tuning in from, we are glad you're here. Now, I don't know if you know what's happening, but the last 3 days, something has been going down. Does anybody know? Yes. The NFL draft. That's right. Some of you got nervous because you didn't know what was happening. The NFL, now I get it. Some of you are like, there's a reason I don't know. I don't care about football, all right? I watch golf, and I got a problem with that, but that's another day. We can talk about that. But I get it. Some of us, maybe you like college football, whatever. But the point is, for us at Missouri City, we have a handful of the Texans organization that are a part of our family there. And so we really love the Texans, and particularly this year, we have a bunch of draft picks, well, we had, and we've made some moves. I say we, like I did something, I didn't, I just cheered. But man, things have been happening. But here's what I've been learning about the draft, which I think is interesting, and it'll set us up for today. What I'm learning from my friends here in the organization is that for the last handful of months, they have been on mission. I mean, they have been investigating these players, watching game film. They go back and talk to their college coaches, their high school coaches, even their nursery directors back when they were babies. I mean, they're looking for anything and everything they can to learn about these players. And the first thing they're looking for is, can they play football, right? It's kind of important, maybe just a little bit. If you're going to play in the NFL, you might need to be able to catch the football. But the second thing, and at times maybe even the most important thing, they're looking for character and off-field behavior. Yeah, because they know, the general managers know, man, if we get one guy in here that's incredible on the field, but off the field, he's a mess, they know that this could mess the whole thing up, that it will slow down the progression of the team, possibly even the entire organization. One guy focused on himself and not on the big picture is a problem. It breaks the unity of the team. And interesting enough, that's kind of where we're going to head today in our text. We're going to continue our series, Joy and Faith, from the book of Philippians. And what we're going to talk about today, I think, is extremely relevant for all of us here. Now, I get in a room like this or watching online, there may be some that aren't familiar with the Bible or maybe Christianity. So let me give a little background to kind of set the framework for where we're going to go. Philippians is a letter written to a group of Christians by a guy named Paul. And Paul was one of the first early leaders of the church, and he writes this letter from prison. And he just got finished in the beginning of the letter, we saw this last week, really encouraging the followers to live lives that bear fruit, to live fruitful lives. And then he starts to warn them against, hey, listen, you're going to have some outside attacks. There's gonna be some moments where you're gonna have tension from the outside world, and I want you to be ready. And today, in the second part of his letter, he's going to move into a new concept, which is, I want you to be careful of internal conflicts. Because there are issues that can rise up within you, and if internal conflicts or friction rise big enough, it becomes a problem. What Paul's saying to us, and I think this is helpful, because the truth is he's recognizing that tension, problems, friction is okay, it's normal. I mean, what happens when you get a group of people together and they're at different stages in their journey with Christ, they're maturing in different areas, it makes sense that, hey, friction is going to come between us. And so Paul says, we're not saying it's never going to happen, but he gives us some tips on how we can be sure that that friction doesn't become a fracture. And that's what we want to avoid, right? What breaks the unity is what we want to avoid. So he starts his letter like this. We'll read it together. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and mercy. What he says here is, hey, if you're a Christ follower, remember who he's writing to. If you're a Christ follower, Jesus has extended so many incredible benefits to you that we should want to do the things I'm about to say. Now, I want to pause for just a minute, and I want to talk to those here or watching online that maybe haven't started a relationship with Christ yet. Because what Paul identifies here are some incredible benefits that come for those of us that walk with Christ. Do you remember one of your first jobs when benefits were extended to you? Do you remember this? You were probably young and single and you didn't have kids, so you didn't really care much about benefits. You were worried about the Benjamins, right? More, give me more of those, give me less of whatever that is. I don't care about the doctor. And then you grow up and you realize, oh, wow, the benefits lead to the Benjamins. Bring it on, right? And I remember that. I had to learn that the hard way. Well, the same idea happens here. Maybe you've got questions about God or concerns about God, but I want to show you what you gain through Christ. Let me put this in a list form and show you quickly. First, he says, you gain encouragement in tough times. Anybody going through something? Isn't it nice to have a cheerleader on your side, kind of pumping you up, moving you forward? We get encouragement through Christ. He says we get comfort. Comfort in times of sorrow. And we live in a broke world, a dark world. It's hard, man. There are times when we are just feeling it, and to have the comfort of the Lord is so helpful. He says participation. We could also use the word connection. Man, we have communion. We have fellowship with God. And this is interesting. In the Bible, it tells us that not only is God there, but when you start to walk with him, the Bible tells us that now God lives within you. So no matter where you are, no matter how alone you may be in the physical sense, if you're walking with God, God's walking with you. I have a connection. It says affection, like a loving parent. Now, maybe growing up, you didn't quite have that in your home, but I think we could all wrap our minds around the idea of what it's like to have someone that's loving on us and affectionate toward us, and it's so helpful. And then finally, he says mercy. The mercy is the mercy in our mistakes. Biblical word, our sin. I don't know, wherever you are, maybe that's what you needed to hear today. Man, that God is available and extend these things to you. Men at the Ramsey Unit, maybe you need to hear this today. You're not alone. Now, not only are you not alone, God says, I'm gonna bring mercy toward all the things that you've done wrong, both past, present, and even in the future. That's the hope of Jesus. Now, we go back to the passage, and Paul's now going to walk us through. Let's move back. Now he's going to walk us through, and he's going to say, okay, I want to show you something else. If we are compelled by the things we gain from Christ, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to make my joy complete. You'll make me happy by being like-minded. Now, like-minded is the idea that we share the same values. And so for us here, River Point West End Church, our values are rooted in the Bible. It's rooted in what God says. That's where we pull our beliefs from as a church. Then he says, I want you to have the same love. And the idea here is that, man, we care for each other. We extend a hand to each other. We put others before ourselves. There is a sacrifice when it comes to loving well. Paul says, I want you to have that same love amongst you. And then being in full accord and have one mind. Now, the one mind sounds like-minded, but it's actually two different things. The one mind here is the idea that now we share the same mission. What's our mission here? Our mission is to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to every single person we can and every place that we possibly can. We exist, including that, we exist for those not here yet. That's the mission. And so Paul says, hey, listen, if you put all these together, what I'm saying to you is that, hey, unity is important. Well, that's helpful, right? I think all of us agree, whether you believe in God or a Christian or not, it makes sense that working together is better than doing it on our own. Right? We work together, all of a sudden, we start to care for each other, we learn from each other, we challenge each other, we grow together, man. It just works better. Just think about your business. If you're not working together, it's probably not going well. Because in general, this idea is so true. So then the natural question becomes, all right, Paul, Mr. Smart Guy, how do we do it? What does it look like? Look what he says. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Yeah, this is fun. Did you catch the big picture? Did you catch it? The key to unity is humility. The key to unity is humility. Now, I think if we're honest, when we think about humility, some of us go, okay, I gotta be humble. So I just gotta think less of myself. Less of me, it's less of myself. I'm weaker than, I'm less than. That's not quite right. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of, put it up there, thinking of yourself less. And Paul's going to add, while thinking of others more. Thinking less of yourself is a self-esteem issue. It's not good. But thinking of yourself less and thinking more of others is tremendously helpful. I think about this a lot, and I'll be the first one to tell you that I struggle with humility, and so do all of you. Because if any of you stood up and said, I am very humble, there's probably a problem, all right? So I'm constantly wrestling with this, and in my position, in my role, leading a campus, leading a team, I'm always wrestling with this. And so I think what I've found is this is really hard to do on your own. Like, the first thing I'd say is you need some people in your life that love you, and maybe even more important, that you love. Because here's the thing, if you don't love them, you won't listen to them, right? But if you love them and they love you, they'll come and say, hey, sit down, brother. I love you so much. Just going to tell you, you got problems, man. You're like, this is conceitedness. This is self a bit. Like, what's going on? And that loving person comes to help. So it's hard to do on your own. We need other people. But I would like to say there is something you can do to be a little bit better at this. And this is something I'm trying my best personally to constantly think about. And that is, I want to have self-awareness. I think self-awareness helps us be humble. It helps us stay humble or helps us move toward humility. Now, self-awareness in itself is difficult because you go, how do I do that? And so here's the two phrases I think about. Here's the first one. Awareness increases as our speed decreases. Some of us, we're moving so fast that we're just missing it. Because we're just constantly moving from the next thing to the next thing, and then you have kids, and you're blah, 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 blah. And sometimes if we could just slow down a bit, we start to see things differently. You might catch that, hey, how I'm treating that person. This is all about me and not about them. I need to pause. I need to slow down. I need to reevaluate that. The second thing is very similar. Our awareness increases as our altitude increases. The other thing I've noticed is when I'm too, and my personality does this a lot, when I'm too locked in on one thing, I can miss, if I would just pan back just a little bit, a bigger picture. Here's an example. Maybe this happened to you this week. Your boss came in and just gave you a really hard critique, and it just crushed you. Man, and you're mad at your boss. Like, I can't believe she or he did this. Like, why would they say that? Do they not know who I am? Like, I'm the best employee that they have. Look at these guys. And you start, ooh, and you're locked in on this one thing that was said. But if we'll pull back for just a minute and you go, okay, wait a minute. Maybe they could have presented it better, but I'm focused on how they presented instead of what they presented. Let me pull back and say, oh, you know what? There are some places that they would just never say that. They'd just fire you. Well, I'm gonna be grateful that I had a tough moment, but I get to learn through it. So there's a picture here. Man, when I slow down, when I pull back, I'm able to see things better. Well, how does that do with humility? Because when we become better at being self-aware, we can catch ourselves before we move into a place that we don't want. So Paul lovingly wants to help us, so he gives us some practical things. Let's look at the rest of the verse. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Selfish ambition. I'm gonna be honest with you, transparent. Can I do that today? We're at church. I'm pretty sure it's okay. Preparing for this message, I struggled with that. It's an honor to stand here on the platform to share it. I'm so grateful that Patrick extended the invitation to be here with you today. But man, as I started thinking about it, I started thinking, oh my gosh, I want them to like me. I want to make Patrick proud, but I want them to like me. And so you start thinking, well, what can I pull together to make a great mess, right? ChatGTP, can you write my sermon? Too soon. So can you, man, I'm like, we're trying to get all this stuff. And then Patrick, of course, before he takes off for Cuba, great leader here, he goes, oh, by the way, 25 years ago, the very first church service we ever had, this passage is what I preached. So good luck. Like, seriously, bro, are you kidding me? What is it? And so you can feel all this tension, right, and pressure because, man, I don't want to blow it. I want to do it right. But here's the thing. Listen, if I'm all about building me up, I get in the way of what God's trying to do now. And we start thinking about this. You go, man, I just want to be a help. But when our selfish ambition grows up, we become the hindrance. And that's what we don't want. So Paul says, hey, as you're having an elevated view, as you're slowing down, keep an eye on selfish ambition. He also says conceit. Do you know what conceit is? Don't look at your neighbor. Do you know what conceit is? Conceit is to have an overly favorable view of yourself. And here's the problem with that. When you do that, you isolate naturally from other people because you start to look down on them. Or you think you're, you would never say this out loud, but you think you're better than them. And so you start to pull away because you can do this while they're over there. And that's what breaks the unity. By the way, that's exactly what the NFL is trying to avoid in all of their research. Because one guy, too focused on himself, destroys the unity of the team and of the organization. So instead, Paul is saying, hey, let's not have an overly favorable view of ourselves, because when you do that, guess what? Now you realize how much you need other people. You realize how great it is to band together and to be a team. Then finally, he says, count others more significant than yourselves. This is easy, right? No problem. It's actually really hard in our culture today. Believe it or not, it was hard in the culture in which this was written. Because around here, we are taught, even though we don't intend, to look out for number one. That's you, in case you were wondering. If you're really humble, you thought you weren't number one, you're number two. That's good. Look out for number one. And in our world, especially if you're in the business world, man, it's a grind. And so you almost feel the pressure of, man, if I don't look out for me, they're going to just leave me behind. And there may be some truth to that, but I have something to tell you. Jesus says that you having strength and looking out for yourself over others, to him, that's not strength, that's weakness. To him, humility is the most important and the most valuable thing in the context of this. Well, that's hard, isn't it? Isn't that hard? You know what I think is really hard about it? To do this right and well, you're going to have to extend these things to people that, at least in your opinion, you think don't deserve it. Oh, it's one thing, right, to extend this to someone that loves you and cares for you and is looking out for you. But outside of the church context for a minute, let's think about the world. Maybe that said boss, maybe here today, be careful. That said boss, just, man, always got something to say, just ringing you out of all the things you can, never says thank you, never cares about you. But here you are trying to put others first, trying not to have selfish ambition, right? It's for the company, right? It's for the company. Maybe you're married, don't look. Maybe you're married and you're like, you know, he or she, I mean, I'm just over here serving, just loving on them. I'm doing the house stuff, the home stuff. I got a job too. I've got these kids and I'm just trying. And he or she just wants to sit on the couch and watch the draft. Or maybe you have kids and you found out a while back you were pregnant. Maybe you're pregnant now. And you're like, oh, the joy this child's going to bring to my world. It's amazing, right? And I don't want to discredit children because they do bring joy, but they also come with a lot of pain. They're walking reminders of how insignificant you really are. And they are constantly just draining. I feel like healing's happening. Let's keep going. I feel like they just drain you of your money and your resources, your time, your gratitude, your service, and they never say thank you. So why, Paul, are you asking? Oh, y'all feel better? Everybody good? Woo. Good thing they're in the other room, right? They need to be here to hear this. Come on. And so you're going, man, Paul, you don't get it, bro. You wrote this a long time ago. You don't understand, but I want you to see something. The way he wrote this, if you notice, he don't care about anybody else. He's only talking to you, and he's only talking to me. He doesn't care if they give it back to you or not. He says, this is how we build unity, and it takes humility. And in case you're still struggling, he says, Let me give you one more example. And this is something you can look up to. This is someone you can look up to. Watch what he says. Verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves. So think about this, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he was God, all right, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, now we get into some little theology here. That's a big fancy word for church stuff. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. I feel like you got to read this with passion. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, that right there could be its own sermon series, and man, we'd be pumped. But here's the thing. Paul places it here as a reminder to you and I that, hey, Jesus did this, so let's follow his example. You don't even have to be a Christian, but you could at least go, man, if Jesus is God, if that's true, and he did this, that's an example I could aspire to. And then some of us, if you grew up in the church, you start to think about this a little bit. And you go, you know, I remember people telling me all the time, just be like Jesus. Just be like Jesus. And I tried to be like Jesus, and I couldn't even come close. And I think this is important to talk about. We have to be careful. You have to have a proper perspective of what this looks like. Yes, we should strive to be like Jesus, particularly today in our humility. But what we must remember is that being like Jesus, who was perfect, and you are obviously not, in case you were wondering, to be like Jesus, we have to remember this is not a goal to attain, but rather a direction for us to head. That I'm never gonna be Jesus, but I'm not gonna let that stop me from moving more and more to him, closer to him. Because a lot of us just go, man, I can't do it. Kick it to the curb, it's over. And that's not the goal here. We can aspire to follow in Jesus' footsteps, and we should. This is so important, and it's so helpful. You know, the other thing about this, we just celebrated Easter. Remember that a couple weeks ago? Jesus, when he went up on the cross, by the way, did you catch what it said? Just in case you missed it, let me put it in simple terms. Jesus, who was God, left perfect heavenly paradise. Whatever that means, we don't have all the details, but he left a perfect place to come down to this broken, dirty earth. And then he took on the form of a puny human body. I think that's fair to assume. Our bodies, they don't last very long. Took on a puny human body, and then he spent his days, long days, weary days, serving other people, teaching, healing, and most of the time the people didn't even care what he had to say. And then he continued that all the way through his torture and his beating, all the way up to the cross to die. And the whole time he did that, don't miss this, the whole time he did that, he never pulled the God card. He never asked for special treatment. He never said, don't you know who you're talking to and treat? No, no, no. He just served humbly in humility. And why is that important? I'll tell you why. Because then when he died and rose again, the rising again gives us the picture that now there's a power that Jesus has that nobody else does. And then the Bible tells us, hey, if you're a Christ follower, that same power's now in you to be able to do things that he asked us to do. So the truth is, you and I can't do this. We can't do humility well on our own. It's not impossible, but we won't do it well. But when we start to walk with Christ, all of a sudden there's a power. What not only did was he the example, he gave us the empowerment to be able to do things we could never do on our own. And so this is it. I mean, this is what we want here, right? If we could just for a second band together here, be the church, think in that mind, if we could create a place where we care and love for one another, amazing things can happen here. And I do want us to be careful. I don't want you to leave here with this I got to do list. I've got to have selfish ambition. I've got to not be conceited, and I've got to put all this first. It's significant. What is the other thing you said, like-minded? Because that moves us into the self-ambition mode. I'm just doing it for me. I'm doing it because I have to. I got to please God. No, no, no. It should be a love list. Because I love and I care for other people, I want to extend these things to them. I want to be a person that helps breed unity. I want to put others first. I want to not chase my own things. I want to chase what's better for everyone. Man, if we do this, we create this unbelievable place. And this is what Paul and God desires for us to do. And it's hard. Can I just tell you, if you're here today and you're feeling isolated or alone, this is why, one of the main reasons why the church was created, so that you could have a place. You could come in here and find God first and then see him working through us and feel connected and not feel alone. I want to encourage you, take advantage of that. If you're new here, say hi to someone on your way out. And if it's awkward, just blame me. That weird guy on the stage told me to do this. So I just want to say, hi, how you doing? It's great to see you. I don't know who you are, but I'll join a group. Man, jump into this thing, because I'm telling you, there has never been a more exciting time to be a part of what's happening right here. And that's the truth. It's incredible. But here's the other thing. If you've been here for a while, listen, we have to be so careful that our unity doesn't breed disunity. Now watch this. The closer we get, imagine I have some people around me. I should have illustrated this. This would have been great. I don't have time. The closer we get, the tighter the circle becomes. And the tighter the circle becomes, the harder it is for others to get in. And so you've had the same seat. I just pointed at you. I hope you have. You've had the same seat for 10 years. You've been in the same group for 10 years. And you've had the same friends for 10 years. Don't know. I hope that worked. We love that. That's so great. We don't want you to be here just for a year and leave. We want you to stay. But the longer we're together, the tighter we get. And if we're not careful, the harder it is for others to come in. We have new faces coming every single week. Every single week. What a joy. But we got to work hard to make sure we live this out. And man, this is so important. So, we have something to aim for. Something to strive toward. It isn't going to be easy. There is going to be some friction at times between us. But if we will keep humility at the forefront, I truly believe that unity will follow. And I think at the end of the day, this is what Paul wanted us to hear. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. Lord, I thank you for this great privilege to be here today and to share your word. Lord, I'm just thinking, as I'm thinking about all the people that are here, thinking about our other campuses here, Lord, there's such a beautiful thing that you are doing here. But Lord, if we get complacent, if we take our eye off the ball, eye off of what is most important, we might miss it. So Lord, would you help us? If there's someone here feeling isolated or alone, Lord, or maybe that's not walking with you, maybe today gave them some thoughts to think about, to propel them closer to you, to maybe enter into a relationship with you. God, we desire for that. For those of us maybe that are new or we're just trying to get connected, Lord, give us the courage to jump out there, to say hi to someone, to shake a hand, to join a group, to be a part. Lord, help us to do that. And Lord, for those of us that have been here for a while, help us to be the ambassadors of our beliefs and our mission, to have that like-minded and that one-mind idea that we can be a church for everybody and that everyone is welcomed here. Lord, empower us today is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.